Maybe my home's on the road. The road's the only place I feel at home. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get back again this way. The road's the only place I feel at home. Feel at home.
Hello and welcome to the My Home is on the Road show. This is the half-hour weekly show that comes to you from the back of a Volkswagen microbus. My name's Dave Manning, and I make my living traveling up and down the West Coast playing music in bars and casinos and wherever we'll pay the bills. And the show is stories from the road and music from other artists I meet in my travels. And this is going to be the fourth of a number of shows about the 2009 Burning Man Festival. And for folks that have listened to the previous shows about Burning Man, you've got a good idea of what Burning Man is. For those of you that haven't listened to the previous shows, you're just screwed, because there's no good way to sum up what Burning Man is in a quick way. But I will try right now. I've heard it called Where All the Cults Went and All the Cults Got Along. And I call it San Francisco's Mardi Gras out in the desert. It's a festival with about 50,000 people gathering in one of the most remote places left in the lower 48, the Black Rock Desert in northern Nevada. And a temporary city is set up called Black Rock City, and the 50,000 people live there for about a week, and huge sculptures are erected way out there in the desert. And then at the end of the week, most of these sculptures get burned to the ground. And then also, as everyone leaves the city is disassembled, and every stick and twig and cigarette butt that came in goes back out. It's one of the largest Leave No Trace events in the world. And the weirder you are, the more you'll fit in Burning Man. It's a place where seeing a naked person walking down the street is just a non-event. Burning Man, though, is always a life-changing event, and this year was no exception for me. This year I met the most fantastic, bombastic, dready chick. In addition to having super hot dreadlocks, she's smart, she laughs easily, she's witty, open, genuine, strong at all the right times, and submissive at all the right times. And she built the house that she lives in with her own two hands and flew across the world just to be at Burning Man.
And now we're arriving at Barbie Death Camp and Wine Bistro.
Okay, that's Mary there. As you might have gathered, she's from Scotland. She's actually from the City of the Damned in Scotland, Aberdeen. And she's the coolest chick I know, but I didn't know any of that when I met her. She was just a dready chick under a crazy light sculpture called the Cubitron that I was laying under Tuesday night of the festival. I don't even know what time it was, sometime maybe around midnight. So for the first hour or so that I was talking with Mary, I didn't even really know what she looked like, because it was pretty dark. So here's the story recorded after Burning Man.
So I didn't really realize, though, I think you had mentioned it before, that minutes prior to meeting me, apparently, you were working on another guy.
I wasn't working on another guy. He was working on me. I'd met another guy, and he was trying to dance with me and giving me beer. He was friendly, like, he seemed bright and friendly enough, but he was, like, really trying to dance with me. And I was like, I just want to dance, I don't want to dance with you. Yeah, so I was just, like, looking at you and trying to dance. I'm trying to dance, like, with everyone else, not just with you. So I was like, well, how about we go for a walk? You know, this dancing thing's not really working out. Yeah, so we wandered about a little bit, and we went up to the Cubitron.
Now, the Cubitron is a fantastic light sculpture, and it was set this year about 4 feet off the ground, so you could look up through it. And it must have thousands of lights that are all many different colors and computer controlled. So after a while, the thing just appears to be living. And to set the scene, there are probably about 100 people just laying on the ground underneath this thing in the darkness, except for the glow of the lights.
I think I saw that the group of hippies that were sitting next to you. Like a pile of them,
and
I was like, oh, I can show them my glasses, because
right.
I was showing everybody my glasses.
Yeah, glasses.
Yeah.
So the glasses Mary had were these cardboard glasses that looked like the old kind of 3D glasses, but when you put them on, every source of light that you saw turned into a myriad of these rainbow-colored heart shapes.
Oh, frick. You guys look like you'd really like my heart glasses and kneel down. And he was there for a little while and talking to them and stuff. I don't know. He was really quite drunk by that stage. It's like, I think he just kind of looked around and I looked up and he was gone. So he just wandered off.
And then I was there instead.
Well, I was there. I was like kneeling down, speaking to these bunch
That's
of
right, you were
kids. Like, yeah, and you were like, "Why are you kneeling down? Why didn't you? Why didn't you lie down?"
Because I had stopped there. I mean, did you want to know? Because there's this other girl that's completely hitting on me. No, there wasn't. Yeah, I was just riding on Buzzilla, and we've been riding around for a while. And the Cubitron had been there before. The first year I went to Burning Man, the Cubitron was there. Mm. And that was... And I remember I didn't ever get a chance to... I didn't feel like I had a chance to really, like, just sit and, like, really enjoy it before. Mm. And so I was in a state where I was ready to really enjoy the Cubitron. And so I'm like... Mm-hmm. I'm like, so I kind of made the command decision. I took my stuff out of the bus, and I'm like, "Hey guys, I'll just see you later. I'm going to just lay in the Cubitron and look at this for a while. Like, I'm just going to finally do this." And so then I laid down there because there was a spot. And you were kneeling, which seemed kind of funny because you weren't looking up at the light show. You were like looking down at all the people looking up at the light show.
I just spent like 15 minutes on my back looking at the light show before, and I just stopped there on the off chance I could, you know, get a few smiles with my love glasses.
So the show for you was watching people put on your
heart glasses. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At that point. But I was lying there and I was like, why is there someone like not watching this? This is so cool.
Yeah, you're like, why are you not lying down? It's got to be a kid over in line. Yeah. After speaking to these guys that were sitting next to you for a while, they were nice, they were good fun. They're all very kind of Californian and hippie and loved out, so their glasses went down well. and then I passed them to you.
And that was a really good thing, yeah. I did quite enjoy the glasses. As many times as I got to help you pass them around later, they completely worked on me, so I understood from the start.
Yeah. And I think the first thing we talked about was the Muppets.
Oh, yeah, because there's a guy that sounded like...
Yeah, Cookie Monster.
The Cookie Monster, yeah. He was like...
I was like, you need to see my glasses. And leaned over and Ganeem was like, yeah. So they broke into this Cookie Monster. Yeah, voice, like, really deep. Holy shit.
And I couldn't really see him. I was just like, laughing. And you were between us. So I was just like, is that the Cookie Monster over there?
Yeah. He was just like leaning over the thing next to the hippies when they were all piled up and like
there's a pile of hippies
like laughing. Yeah, there was like seven of them all just like stacked. I've got photos of it. They're literally all just like interwoven and like stacked on top of each other. It was really cute.
Wow.
But he started
like a gaggle of geese.
He started doing a pile of hippies monster thing, and then that started us talking about the Muppets, and that's apparently a good way of opening conversation. It's like 15-20 minutes of Muppet conversation, I think. And you convinced me in that short time that I liked Elmo after a lifetime of hating Elmo for being the worst of
was
all.
It, was it under the Cubitron that
Muppets,
I talked about Elmo?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Like okay. First conversation.
I didn't know if it was later. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And I was like,
it's kind of fuzzy.
Hey, Elmo. Oh, Elmo is just misunderstood.
Indeed, Elmo is misunderstood.
Oh, Elmo was on this TV show, and yeah, like...
Well, it's dichotomous, because, you know, though he does act cute and annoying most of the time, it's kind of one of those personalities where he's cute and annoying most of the time, but he is the only Muppet to acknowledge that he's a Muppet.
So I'll just take a pause out right here just to explain to you about Elmo, because as most of you know, Elmo is the annoying red monster from Sesame Street. But one time I saw Elmo on a cooking show called The Frugal Gourmet, and they were making pizza. And the short of it is, when they got done making the pizza, the Frugal Gourmet said something like, "Oh, yeah, you should try eating this." And Elmo's response was something like, "Oh, Elmo doesn't eat pizza. Elmo is styrofoam." Like acknowledging that Elmo knows that he is but a puppet. And I think that he is the only Muppet that's ever done that.
Yeah, yeah, like he's self-aware.
Which
he's
maybe is why.
Self-aware.
Yes, he's so tragic. Yeah. He's tragically happy.
No, and since you love tragic people. Tears of a crying, you know, that's like.
I think you said that night.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Which is completely like that completely hooked me because I'm like, that's such a great song.
Yeah.
Smokey Robinson.
Wow.
And the Miracles.
Yeah, so.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles!
Smokey Robinson and the Miracles there from a live recording in 1972 with Tears of the Clown. All right, so then after laying under the Cubitron and talking with Mary for a while, nature called, and I almost lost Mary then, but somewhere deep inside I had the wisdom to ask her out. I asked her if she'd come with me to the porta potties.
About 15 minutes in the Cubitron experience, I really had to go to the bathroom. Uh-huh. But I kind of like you, and so I didn't. So then I laid there for a while longer than I really, really had to go. And somewhere around like the really to the 10th power had to go time, I decided to mention that I was going to go and that maybe I'd come back and find you there.
Yeah.
And then I knew that wouldn't work because it's Burning Man. And then, so then I mentioned that maybe you could come with me.
Yeah.
And much to my surprise, you thought that was a good idea. I didn't think that was going to work. Because I just met you like 20 minutes before and we talked about the Muppets and like, for you to go wandering off with me, I didn't think that was really going to happen, but then it did.
I was in that kind
of... And it was really hard for me to walk all the way to the bathroom, so I was in a bit of pain. I tried to be cool about it.
The things you don't know at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went off for a wander, and then we went to find a bar.
Yeah. And we found the perfect, unbeknownst to both of us, the perfect bar for us.
the bar we wound up at was an S&M bar. They had stocks set up. They had places, a couple different stations where you could tie people's wrists up, and they had whips sitting around, and some neon sculptures of naked people dancing. And so that's where we wound up.
Oh, man. That was a funny bar.
Well, there's the 45-year-old gay guy who really wanted to put me in the shackles and whip my ass.
Richard, the Republican Richard. American Indian.
That's right, the Republican.
He was like, I'm a Republican. And like, he first introduced himself.
It's like, a good way to do it, a Burning Man. Yeah.
Okay.
How are you? What is your own individual way that you're weird?
Yeah.
And he was like, when I introduce myself, I just say I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
And so I'm bound to not fit in here.
Yeah, but he was like almost, you know, like I'm here to punish you guys. I'm a Republican.
The place where everyone goes that doesn't fit in, to not fit in. And he was not fitting in his own conservative way.
He seemed quite comfortable with it though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they put you in the stocks.
Put me in the stocks.
And I was standing in the bar, like with our like a first drink together, like, oh, really is this happening just now?
Yeah, because there's a guy in the stocks getting whipped, and it was this hippie guy with long hair, you know, similar to me, and he was in the stocks for like 10 minutes at least. And, I mean, he was there while we showed up.
Yeah.
And he kept on getting whipped, and for a while I was getting whipped by this girl, and that was okay. But then Richard. The 45-year-old gay Republican started whipping him. But he was still kind of into that. Because maybe he didn't know that the weapon changed hands.
Well, he can't really see.
No, he couldn't see, but he might have been able to sense.
Yeah.
The deepening of the voice, the intensifying of the whip. Mm-hmm. But that he was being whipped by somebody else. But he was still okay with that. And so, you know, I kind of thought it'd be great to get in the stocks because I was into that. But then I was kind of worried that I would really be stuck there for 10, 15 minutes, seriously getting whipped by Richard the Gay Republican. I wasn't sure how I felt about that. I was thinking maybe it would be great to be whipped by you or something.
Yeah, I guess you could come out and I could have gone off with the guy at the bar. You didn't know why then.
I would have been stuck. The stocks getting whipped. I would have been stuck in the stocks getting whipped by
Richard,
okay,
Republican
watching you leave with another guy. Oh, that would have been the worst ever.
What am I thinking about?
No, that would have been really bad.
That didn't happen anyway.
That's not on my bucket list.
They were quite easy on you.
Oh, very easy on me. Yeah.
And they
you could tell me I wasn't. Ed, you could tell I was. I think he could tell that I wasn't completely into him whipping me. So he's kind of like, well, give him the.
He's paid for his drink now. He can go back to the bar.
Yeah. We'll give him the little example of whipping him. Ha 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 ha. Let him go. Yeah.
Well, that was an interesting place.
Baby, will you eat that there snack cracker in your special outfit for me, please? Let's teeth of your horny mood, do you? All I want is just one more oatmeal pie.
Southern culture on the skids there with Camel Walk. And by this time, there was a faint blue glow in the sky, the telltale sign that night would soon be surrendering. We walked towards the temple, a three-story mass of wood with platforms at different levels to be explored. It's the spiritual center of Black Rock City, and a very quiet and serene place to be at dawn. On the way, we stopped at an art installation, a small tent with sculptures of people meditating around it. Inside the tent, the walls were plastered with family photos, and another couple cuddled on the floor, looking at the walls and ceiling in quiet admiration.
We went in, and some guy had just, like, put his whole life up on the walls in the photographs.
That was an amazing thing, because it was, like a whole... Like, if you had two... If you had photo albums that were, like, a foot thick, a foot worth of photo albums thick, they were all just put up on the
inside.
Yeah, so
it was like personal family photographs.
And you couldn't really tell if it was all the same family, or if it was it random stuff he got at the thrift store, or was it his family?
And it was like something on the, like, there was some sound being as well.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. And these two like really amorous hippies that were trying to get it on, and we were like suddenly in their space.
I didn't remember thinking that.
We came in and sat down.
Or maybe you came in first.
I was like, oh, okay. And
they're like, oh, we finally found a place. And
we just kind of sat down and like, I mean, we hadn't like, we weren't even holding hands or anything by that stage. We were still very much like, what's going on here? And we came in and sat down and you know, like crossed our legs and looked at the walls and like, what is this? Wow, so it's really cool. And kind of, and then the sun was starting to come up. So we stood at the door for a little while and looked out, and then we were like, oh shit, we're completely covering the door. Like, these guys can't see the sun.
Right.
We looked at that for a little while and wandered off towards the sunrise.
Well, yeah, correct. The temple. Because we had come from the part of the city where if you walk directly to the east end, then you hit the temple. So we walked towards the temple. And that's when we were walking, then that's what I thought it would be a good idea if you took my arm.
Yeah, it's a good line.
It's not mine. It's from a song. Mm-hmm. But it's a good song.
Yeah, so we went to the temple, and we climbed up the temple, and we sat down, and the sun was already almost starting to come up by then.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down, and I think the first thing we noticed was, well, I don't know if it, obviously we were noticing each other mostly, I think. And probably brushing up against each other a little bit more than we had been before. And looking over the edge, and we noticed that there was a pink panther in the line to the...
to the porta-potties.
And that's pretty funny.
The costume was big enough where, it was like, it would be hard to fit it inside the porta potty.
You're going to get that.
Because the head was like 3 feet long.
And the tail is definitely going to go down.
Stick out the end of the door.
Go down the toilet. Like, that's not good. Having a tail in one of those things is not a good idea. But yeah, so that was very funny.
I've never seen a picture of that.
Yeah. And then, we sat and looked at our feet and looked at the...
Yeah, you took a picture of our boots together.
Yeah.
Because I had on cowboy boots and you had on rubber boots that were the same shape as the cowboy boots, but made out of rubber, and mine are made out of leather.
You know?
And then the sun came up, and...
Yeah, so then it was like, wow, let's go back to our Dave's thing.
So then we took a leisurely walk to Mary's tent in Playa Monkey Camp. I was introduced to some of the monkeys, and Mary packed an overnight bag, or I guess I should call it an overday bag, as it was about 8 in the morning by then, and we'd both been up all night long. With a high desert sun beginning to splash its heat down on the city, we walked to VW Bus Camp, where Vincent, my 1965 VW camper bus, was parked for the week.
I think... I was fairly instantly introduced to Crow. and
oh, Crow.
The rest of the bus camp folk.
Yeah. He was probably hanging around. He always is.
Yeah. Crow, who's like now, you know, like I speak to him every other day on Facebook, practically. Like he's hilarious. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah, he's the best guy. He's a really good guy. Yeah.
Crow and Teco and all that. There's so many different like folk that I've met. There's just so many lovely people, and they
my
all just like
at bus camp,
yeah. Well, they just welcomed me like, hey, Mary, hey, welcome.
They found a girl. And it wasn't even about me, like, me found a girl. It was just like, hey, you're cool. Like I wasn't even, like, part of it so much. But they just... It wasn't like, hey, like, it's Mary with Dave. It was just like, hey, it's Mary. She's cool. Which was even better than like, Dave found a girl. It was more like hey, this girl's cool. Whoever brought this girl around, she's cool. Mm. Yeah.
They were all very friendly and welcoming. Anyway, I felt right at home instantly. And
lucky me.
Yeah. Oh, and well, you know, and Vincent. It's a good way to make me feel at home.
What do you remember about Vincent?
What do I remember about him? I remember his squeaky door, and I remember the sink, but the sink's not no longer there. The sink. Which kind of strikes you, you know, pretty immediately when you open the door, because it's just this massive sink. Like, what the fuck is that doing here? It's huge. Completely out of place, ceramic sink. Wow, this guy likes sinks. Cool. And he had a really big thick duvet cover, if I remember that. That was very nice. And... oh yeah, all your stuff was in tins and jars and wrapped up in rubber bands and all that kind of stuff. Kind of stuff I like. and then you told me the story, so you've had them for such a long time and fixed them and continued to fix them, and yeah. That's like proper long-term friendship, sort of. You're in it for the long haul. Made me feel slightly guilty about my van. Like. So, wow, yeah, you completely wowed me, Vincent. Don't mean you didn't wow me, Vincent, you just wowed me, and it was in Vincent, and that was really impressive. That's an impressive,
Well, I think one of the things that it's important to me about our relationship is that you met me and that you liked me without hearing my music or seeing my bus or knowing it, like the DaveManning.com stuff or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I had no idea. In fact, it kind of freaked me out when I got home and because you'd give me an address on it, you were like, didn't you just Google me or whatever, and I Googled it. I Googled you when I got home. I'm like, holy shit, this guy's got a web page. That's really odd. Yeah.
Would you like me for me?
Yeah, of course. Maybe
my home's on the road. So without having to say a word about it, Mary effectively moved into Vincent for the rest of the Burning Man festival, and we were rather inseparable for the rest of the week and sometime after the festival. And then about a week after the festival, she flew back to Scotland, and since the festival, I've been over to Scotland for about 6 weeks, living in her little cabin with a wood stove that she built with her own two hands. And I'm back in the States now for a few weeks, but we'll be heading back over and moving the My Home is on the Road show over to Scotland. We've got a few more, at least one more show about Burning Man. I've got all kinds of great tape from the night that the man itself, like the pivotal night of Burning Man, when the man itself gets burned down. So we'll be bringing that to you next week. And I want to thank Groundswell Media Productions, who puts together DaveManning.net. And the other day, Mary was talking to Nathan and explained to Nathan why you don't have to take any kind of mind-altering substances to enjoy Burning Man, because you can see things like this.
There's a pink panther in the line
to the porta-potty.
All right, safe travels and have yourself a fantastic day.